Thank you so much, Brother Armacost. I want to just say thank you to Pastor Dameron for the invitation and for the opportunity to speak to you guys this morning. And I'm so thankful also for their warm hospitality and kindness, although the weather is a little bit colder than in New York, believe it or not. But things were just warming up when I was leaving. But as Brother mentioned, some of the wind delayed me yesterday. But I am excited to be here. I'm thankful for any place that takes a strong stand for serving the Lord, for training young men and women for the ministry. You know, today there's a lot of emphasis on other different things, and there's needs all over our society, our culture, our world. But the greatest need is for people to know the truth of God's word. And so, young person, make that the goal of your life. Wherever God leads you, that I want to be a part of advancing the gospel, advancing the word of God into people's hearts. And I'm grateful for what God has been doing in my life and in our church. As Brother Armacost mentioned, it's been a year and a half there as a senior pastor. And we've seen God bless. We've seen God answer prayer. And it's been exciting just continuing this journey that God has us on. My wife of 5 years is home with our daughter, Nicolette, who's just turned one a few weeks ago. So it's an exciting time in our family. And we're just going by God's grace, one day at a time, trusting the Lord. And He'll provide for us. We know that. I also want to give a special shout out to Haiti this morning, because, you know, I was born to immigrants of Haiti, and I had no clue I'd come to Indiana and find some Haitians here. So I'm happy to meet Brother Elio. I can't say your full name yet, but I'll get there. And Brother Jericho, happy to see you guys and some you lovely folks here as well this morning. Let's take the word of God and let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Young people, I want to draw your attention to one verse, and it's a thought that God has been working in my life and my heart about for a few weeks now, a burden God placed on my heart. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. It's a prayer from the Apostle Paul. He says that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. This morning, I want us to consider being strengthened in our inner man. Let's pray together. Dear Father God, we're so grateful to open up your word this morning. And as we look and study, we just claim the Holy Spirit's promise to guide us into all truth, Lord. I pray that you would have free course to work in the hearts of your people today, that we would come hungering and thirsting, and that you would hold back any hindrances from the enemy that would seek to distract or take away from these moments. And Lord, would you have your way? Would you use me and fill me and empower me? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul is in prison while he writes these words, and he finds the encouragement to pray this prayer to the church at Ephesus. And that's a burden, it's a prayer that all of us should have as Christians, that we would be strengthened in our inner man. Strengthened with might by His Spirit in our inner man. I want you to consider a question this morning. How far can we go with God? And think of it this way, how far can God go with us? Maybe that's more appropriate. In the 1970s, there was a gentleman by the name of Jim Fix, and he literally wrote the book on running. Jim Fix started that modern movement of running, the idea of running for fitness, running for exercise. And in the 70s, it blew up. And, of course, today for our generation, that's a common thing, but that was a new thing in his day and age. And he wrote the book, The Complete Book of Running. The issue was, one day, at the age of 52, Jim Fix, while running on a tree-shaded path in Vermont, collapsed, dropped dead, died of a heart attack. And it was later found out that Jim Fix, although outwardly he was an athlete, although outwardly he was a great physical specimen, there were some internal things going on that he didn't really deal with. The doctor said he had high cholesterol. He had arterial disease, and three of his main arteries were 80% clogged. You see, on the outside, on the surface, he looked great. He wrote the book on running. Everyone loved him. But there were some internal things going on, which eventually took his life. Young person, our private ministry, our private walk with God has to be the center, has to be the essence of our ministry. Our private ministry with God must come before our public ministry with men. Think about this, the apostles, the early church, in Acts chapter 6, when they wanted to select deacons, they said, we want these deacons to come and assist us to help with the administration and servants so that we can focus on what? Who knows? What do they want to focus on? Someone tell me. You can talk to me now. What was that? The Word of God. I'll give you a hint. It was actually two things they wanted to focus on. It was the Word of God, but it was something else that came first. In Acts chapter 6, verse 4, someone said it. But that we would give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the Word. Do you see that? It's not by accident that they put that first. The priority, the emphasis was prayer. And from prayer, then they can move on to the ministry of the Word. You see, a lot of times we like to polish the exterior. And sometimes in our Bible colleges and our Christian schools, it becomes very easy to learn how to play the game. It becomes very easy to learn how to put a polish on the outside and to do the ministry, the work, publicly. But we don't take the time to strengthen our inner man. We don't take the time to spend time with God. And I'll tell you, for me, over these last few years in ministry, one of the scariest lessons I've learned is that I can succeed in fulfilling a public ministry role without succeeding in private time with God. And that scares me to death. That scares me to death that I can fulfill a role where people see me and say, wow, that was special, that was great. But Christ is left out. God is left out of it. Eventually, that ministry will never last. It'll unravel, it'll fall apart. It'll be destroyed. Listen, we got to take time to strengthen our inner man. And that's my message this morning. We need to strengthen the inner man. Jesus told his disciples, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The first call was to be with him, to walk with him. And then we can start serving him. Number one this morning, we must be strengthened with might. Paul's prayer was that they would be strengthened with might. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And that word might in verse 16 here in Ephesians chapter 3 is that great Greek word dunamis, which we get our English word dynamite, or you could say dynamo. And it's the idea of this power, this unbridled power and energy. It's a word that's often used to describe the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's miracle working power that God wants to bestow upon his people. This is strength that can break the bonds of sin and wickedness. This is the strength and the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the strength and power that each of us need in our lives and in our ministries. We need this desperately in our lives and our ministries. You know, the reality is this strength is needed for us to serve God continually. We need to be strengthened with might if we're going to serve God, but serve him continually. What I mean by that is with longevity. I'm not talking about coming to an altar and making a flash in a pan decision that lasts maybe for a semester or for a few weeks, and then it just falls flat. I'm not talking about going through 4 years of Bible college, and when you get out of Bible college, you no longer decide to serve in the ministry. You know what? It's so sad, and I'm talking especially to those of you that feel called to preach, those of you that have that call of God on your life. It would be a shame for you to leave this place after 4 years of people pouring into your life, praying for you, teaching you the Word of God, for you to leave this place and just to be a used car salesman somewhere. Listen, I'm not, if someone's daddy's in here is a used car salesman, I'm not knocking used car salesmen. I like good Christian used car salesmen. But if God's calling you to serve him, do what he's called you to do. Don't quit. Don't give up. But too many people, unfortunately, they start out right, then they quit on God. Somewhere along the line, they give up. They gave in to sin. They gave in to self. But they have to realize the ministry of the Lord, serving the Lord, can never be done in our strength. It has to be done in His strength. And that's what gives us longevity in our ministries. Stand up for Jesus. Stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. There are too many casualties in the Lord's work. Too many young men and women that unfortunately started right but fell by the wayside. We need this strength. We need the strength with might for conflict, for combat. Young people, those of you that are training for ministry, you got to realize we're heading out to the front lines. And we need the strength of God. We need the miracle working power of God. Listen, we're going into enemy territory. And the devil has a target on us. And what are we going to do in our own strength? We can't do anything. Jesus said, for without me you can do nothing. But Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So what are you going to do when you encounter people that have addiction issues? What are you going to do when you encounter people that have a broken home and are dealing with divorce and adultery? What are you going to do when you're dealing with people that are struggling with bitterness and immorality in their lives and anger and resentment? What are you going to do when they look to you for the answers? Listen, I'll tell you what I've learned. As a 30-year-old man, I have nothing to offer those kind of people. I don't have the life experience. I don't have the intellectual ability. But what I can have is the very power of God, His strength, with might, that miracle-working power to be able to share with them the truth of God's Word that breathes life into their souls and their spirit. We need the power of God. That's what I want you to understand this morning. Don't just focus on how do I look, how do I do this. And we need the power of God. This past Sunday night, we had a missionary in our church. His name is Brother Kewal Ramprasad. He's a missionary to Trinidad. In fact, he's a national pastor there. And he's been in the ministry for over 50 years. And he preached. He got up there and preached with power. And as a young man, I saw that and just said, wow, I want to be just like that. 50 plus years in the ministry with longevity, with power. No scandals. No blots on his ministry and testimony. How does that happen? It wasn't because of him. It was because he was strengthened with might. He had this very power of God. Paul prayed for here in Ephesians 3. But notice again, he says that God would grant you according to His riches to be strengthened with might, number two, by His Spirit. This strengthening comes from the Holy Spirit. You want the power of God? You can't separate the power from the Holy Spirit. It's by His Spirit. You know, in many of our circles today, there's a lot of misconceptions about the Holy Spirit. I heard a story once of a little boy in a Baptist church. I was talking to his friend, and he was explaining to his friend the Holy Spirit and what we believe is Baptist. And he said, listen, Baptists believe in the Holy Spirit. Pentecostals believe in the Holy Ghost. We've gotten to a place in our circles where because of the excess and abuse of some people over here, that we've gone so far the other way where we are neglecting, we are ignoring God, because that's who the Holy Spirit is. He's the third person of the Trinity. He's co-equally God. And the Bible says that God has moved into our hearts and our lives to indwell us, to empower us, to enable us. This strength doesn't come from just coming to chapel. This strength doesn't come from you. This strength doesn't come from your pastor or your parents. This strength comes from the Holy Spirit. And in Luke chapter 11, the Lord Jesus Christ explained that God wants to freely give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. The power, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. To those that are willing. To those that desire it. This strength can be ours. It's by the Spirit. It starts first with regeneration. That's where it starts. And I want to emphasize this because for far too long, I believe we have put the emphasis on the wrong place when it comes to salvation. Salvation is not just reciting the words of a prayer. Salvation is the Holy Spirit of God moving in to transform us. It starts with regeneration. So this morning, have you been regenerated? Have you been born again? That's where it starts. But then it continues. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell us. I love that chorus we sing. Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ liveth in me. That's a present reality for every Christian. The moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit moved right in. In fact, here in Ephesians chapter 3, it goes on to explain in verse 17 that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. He's come to live, make his abode in our hearts. But then there's also the Spirit-filled life. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, there's a command given to every Christian that says, be filled, be ye filled with the Spirit. And there's never a commandment in the Bible to be indwelt with the Spirit, because that's automatic. That happens the moment you trust Christ, he moves in. But there is a commandment in the Bible to be filled with the Spirit. Isn't that interesting? And if you study that verse out, what it's saying is it's not a one-time deal. It's a continual filling. That means every day when I wake up, I say, Lord, help me to be filled with your Holy Spirit. It's a continual commandment to be obeyed. And this filling isn't about how much of the Holy Spirit do I have, because I have all of him. I got all of him the day I got saved. No, it's a question of how much of me does he have. That's what this filling is about. So if I'm going to be strengthened with might, it's by yielding myself as a vessel, empty and available for the Holy Spirit to use. Young person, have you given yourself, your body, to the Holy Spirit to be used? Whether you're called to full-time ministry, quote-unquote, or not, that's a commandment for every Christian. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't neglect the Holy Spirit. Don't treat the Holy Spirit like he's a junior version of God, almost. We think of God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit's kind of way down here somewhere. No, he's God. He lives in you, and he wants to enable you for ministry, for service, for power, for victory. This strength in our inner man is in the Holy Spirit. This strengthening is not just an effect or a force. It's not a something, it's a someone that's come to live and flow through us. It's the very life of Jesus Christ being lived out through us. That's what this is talking about here. Be strengthened in might by his Spirit in the inner man. Do we want God's power? Do we desire God's might, God's victory? Do we desire God's presence, the Holy Spirit? The sphere, the central location of all of this is the inner man. Some of you doctrinal students, you know that man is a trichotomy, right? Hope I'm not going against the school's doctrine here. But that's what I believe, brother. Body, soul, and spirit. And our world has deceived us to putting so much emphasis on our bodies. That's the only thing that counts. Or maybe they might go a little bit further to our soul, your emotion, how you feel. But they never deal with the spirit. And unfortunately, as Christians, we've done the same thing. See, the spirit of man, that's the part where the Holy Spirit comes to dwell. That's where he wants to interact with us. And by the way, it starts there and it spreads to our soul and our bodies. It affects all three. But it starts with the inner man, the spirit part of man. The inner man is just as real as our physical bodies. The inner man is where we must be strengthened, what Paul says here in Ephesians 3:16. We know what it means to be strengthened in our outer man physically, but we neglect to strengthen our inner man. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The outward man is perishing. I turned 30 years old this past July, and it's all relative, I know, but I literally felt right when I turned 30, I felt the slowdown. It's real. I'm telling you, I was, in my day, I was a pretty good ball player. In my day, I was pretty fit and active, and I just felt the slowdown where I used to be able to eat whatever I ate and whatever I wanted and go out and play ball for a couple hours and Still got the six pack. Now it's a different kind of six pack here. I don't know. Things are changing in our outward man. It's perishing. It's getting worse and worse. But it's not supposed to be like that in our inner man. It's supposed to get better and better. The Christian life is not a descending life. It's an ascending life. It's from strength to strength, from victory to victory. We're being renewed in our inner man. But we neglect our inner man. It's not happening for many of us. You know, there's some men in the Bible who never strengthened their inner man. And it showed. King Saul stood head and shoulders above everyone else in Israel. He was the people's choice. But he wasn't God's choice. God rejected him because of his pride, because of his carnality that consumed him. He never dealt with his inner man. Probably the greatest example is Samson. I mean, talk about a specimen of physical brute strength. If you can walk into a city and walk out with the city's gates over your shoulders, you're pretty strong, aren't you? But man, you could never find someone in his inner man who was so weak and anemic. He couldn't stand up to sin and temptation. He crumbled in the face of immorality. And there's some young men that are crumbling, dying in their inner man. Outwardly, they're strong, strapping young men, but you're being killed by what you look at, killed by what's going through your mind, and you're not dealing with it. God says strengthen the inner man first. I don't care if your dress goes down to your knee. I don't care if your tie is nice and tight. I don't care about all those things. What about your inner man? That has to come first. Now, I know that eventually it flows to our outer man. It ought to. But for far too long, we emphasize all the externals. And we forgot that there's something to the inner man. There's something to just taking time to be still and know that He is God. Listen, I'm not trying to get mystical and spooky this morning. But there's something to just taking time to being still. Walking with God. Hearing from God. Nourishing our spirit. But the reality is, if you're like me, we like to just get to the good stuff. I like methodology. I like, tell me what to do and I'll just go do it. I like those articles that start with, you know, three things to do to preach a good message in chapel. Three things to do to be a good pastor. I love those kind of articles. I just want to get right to, all right, do this, do that. But what I'm finding out is, you know what, there are no shortcuts to this thing. It's just walking with God. If you never learn how to walk with God, you're never going to go on with God. Somewhere down the line, I'm telling you, it's going to all come crumbling down. Strengthen the inner man. Standards and convictions are important. Public Christian service is essential. But they must be born as a result of strengthening the inner man, not instead of. And if all you learn in these years in Christian school and Bible college is how to just do the public stuff, and you never really settle down the private stuff, you failed. You can take that degree and tear it to shreds. You failed. Strengthen the inner man. And isn't it something that those things which aren't seen by men are the things that actually will strengthen our inner man? No one can see how long you read your Bible or how long you prayed. Or no one can see those things. But those are the things that strengthen our inner man, aren't they? Go with me to Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah 54 and verse 2. Isaiah 54 verse 2. Maybe it's a scripture you've heard before. It's a wonderful scripture. Enlarge the place of thy tent. And let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. You know, there's two aspects here. There's the visible, what people can outwardly see. Then there's the invisible, the things that no one can see, but yet they're actually the foundation of everything else. And the idea here is we can enlarge our ministries. We can enlarge our influence. But if we don't take time to lengthen the cords, as this verse tells us, and to strengthen the stakes, one day it's all going to come crumbling down. And you know what? Many in our circles, many in our generation, that's exactly what we've seen happen. And that's why it's so sad. Many in my generation are leaving fundamentalism. They're leaving because they've been fed up, they've been hurt, they've been grieved, because some ministries, unfortunately, they did not take time to strengthen the stakes, lengthen the cords. Oh, the ministry was outwardly growing by leaps and bounds. That tent was large. But the cords, the stakes, they weren't settled in, and it all came crashing down. Young person, as you build your tent, and God's going to enable all of us to have some ministry, some influence, as God builds your tent, strengthen the stakes, lengthen the cords, strengthen the inner man by the Spirit of God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We need to come before God before we go before men. Walk with Him, love Him, serve Him, follow Him. That comes before our public ministry. My wife grew up in California in a wonderful church. Her church was growing. The pastor, by all accounts, was a great preacher, leading the way. Souls were being saved. Offering baskets were full. Christian school started. Then the pastor ended up being dismissed from the church because he was a drunkard. In fact, he was so drunk one day he came to church as a drunk. The church had to dismiss him. And eventually that pastor never really dealt with that problem and divorced from his wife, started bouncing around different women. And just a couple of years ago, he died of a heart attack, shacked up with a woman, never got right, never got cleaned up. What happened? Well, we can point to a number of things, but I'll tell you what, he never strengthened his inner man. I don't believe that he ever strengthened his inner man. And on the contrast to that missionary that we had this past Sunday night, Brother Cawell, I'm telling you, this man, 50 plus years in the ministry, he needed my help to walk up this platform. He's a man that's struggling with Parkinson's, and he couldn't even drink a bottle of water without shaking and spilling it. He's dealing with onset Alzheimer's and getting a little bit forgetful, but he preached with power. Altars were packed. God came down. God met with us. He told us about what's happening in Trinidad, how churches are being started, souls are being saved. And he understood it's not because of who he was, because he's weak and frail and feeble. Physically speaking, he's not a specimen to behold at all. But I knew and I saw he's walking with God. His inner man is strong, powerful, strengthened with might. How far can we go with God? How far can God go with us? Let's all stand together. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the challenge and admonishments from Your Word. And I trust, Lord, that Your Spirit would just be working in all of our hearts, myself included, Lord, that we take the time to build up and strengthen our inner man. Lord, help us to realize the provision You've made for us. Miracle working power, strength, might that comes by the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to claim that, ask for that, yield ourselves to that. Lord, I pray that we would just be a generation that seeks You, that makes a difference for You. Would You enlarge our tents, enlarge our ministries? Lord, help us to remember to strengthen the stakes and lengthen the cords. Young person, this morning, if God's spoken to your heart, maybe you realize, you know what, I need to reprioritize some things in my life. Maybe you realize, hey, I have to make sure that I'm not just taking care of the public stuff and memorizing the verses for my class and making sure I preach this right and do all these things. I've got to make sure that I'm spending time with my God, that I'm walking in the fullness and power of the Holy Spirit. As the pianist begins to play, God's spoken to you, come to this altar. Let's cry out to God.